Isaiah chapter 35, and we'll take time just to read verses 8 through 10 together. Isaiah 35, verses 8 through 10, we read, "And the highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return, and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away." I'm sure that you'll agree with me tonight that we live in an ever-changing world. In this world, one which is rapidly growing all the time, industries then such as civil engineering play a major role in the development of society today. As this world gets bigger and brighter and busier, that then means that there is a need for better roads and a better communications network. And of course, this then has led to the erection of new motorways, carriageways, and highways. The world's longest highway today is currently located in Australia. It is known as Highway 1, and it actually wraps around the entire continent of Australia. It's approximately 9,000 miles long. Statisticians tell us that there are more than 1 million people travel this road every single day. The world's most dangerous road is found in Bolivia. It's also one of the youngest highways in this world. Its nickname is Death Road because there are approximately 300 deaths on it every year, and it is called the youngest road. The most expensive highway was erected years ago in Boston. It is actually an underground road. It goes under the city and then above it again. It's named Big Dig, and its cost was $14.8 billion. And of course, as I mentioned this morning, here in the city, we feel the effects of the erection of new roads all the time. Recently, there has been the construction or the development of the new A6, which is proposed from Dungiven to Drumahoe. I was looking at the road plans this week as well, and I've even read of plans for other carriageways from the city here out through the west, through to Oma, and then even all the way to Ballygolly, to Auchnacloy. Amazingly, the construction of new roads is nothing new. The Bible has plenty to say about new roads or individuals travelling roads. 2 weeks ago, we looked at the cities of refuge, for example, and we mentioned that the roads up to those cities, cities like Hebron, cities like Shechem, those roads, well, they were twice as long as the current or the normal roads. And of course, there were signposts on those roads saying Miklat, which it simply means refuge. Even during the days of Christ, or before the days of Christ, the Greeks and then the Romans, they greatly improved road and communication networks. And here in Isaiah chapter 35, and the verse 8, you read again of another reference to a road or a highway. Verse 8, we read, "And a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness." And here Isaiah is actually speaking of a literal highway, a literal road that would literally be built. Isaiah, of course, he prophesied during the days when the people of God were falling into sin, falling into apostasy, and he spoke to them before the days of the Babylonian captivity. And he prophesied with many, many purposes in view. But one of the purposes in view of Isaiah's prophecy was to encourage the people of God that as they would go, yes, to Babylon, as they would be under judgment for 70 years, that the Lord would minister to them, and that the Lord would then make a way back to their beloved land of Israel. Well, herein, speaking of this highway in verse 8, He is actually prophesying. He is prophesying of that time when the people of God would return from Babylon and they would make a literal journey back to their beloved Jerusalem. Back, of course, to Zion. And to make that journey, this highway, this motorway as we would call it today, it was literally erected. There was a literal road that was erected, that was built, constructed from Babylon that led straight to Israel. And of course, whilst Jerusalem and Zion, it was a literal place. Isaiah then, he not only speaks of an immediate fulfillment of this highway, of a literal road that would literally lead from Babylon to Jerusalem, he also then speaks of it in another way, of a spiritual way. And he speaks of it in terms of the church, the people of God, and the kingdom of heaven. And he essentially says this, that whilst there was a literal road that led to Zion, that led to the place where the people of God would worship the Lord, there is also then a spiritual highway, the highway to heaven. And he essentially says that all of the people of God, they are on this highway. And one day it will lead to their ultimate destination. It would lead to heaven itself. You see, whilst the rock band AC/DC sang of a highway to hell, Scripture, however, speaks of a highway to heaven. It speaks of a way back to God. And I wonder tonight, let me be very pointed in how I apply this. I wonder tonight, on which highway are you traveling? On which highway are you traveling? Are you currently on the broad way that leads to destruction? Or can you say, as we have already been singing tonight, that we're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching to Zion, the beautiful city of God. Can you say you're a pilgrim? You're a pilgrim walking on the highway to heaven. It was only the ransomed. In verses 9 and 10, you read of the ransomed and you read of the redeemed walking on this highway. And they're singing and they're worshiping and they're praising their Lord as they walk this highway, this literal way, this literal road that led straight to Zion. And I wonder, are you part of that band tonight? Are you part of the people of God? Can you say that you are marching, that you are walking on that wonderful highway to heaven? Well, I trust that by the end of this message, that you will be informed as to the highway to heaven or to heaven's highway. I have three thoughts that I want to leave with you tonight about heaven's highway, drawn from these verses. The first thought I want to leave with you is this, its prominence, its prominence. Verse 8 we read, and an highway shall be there and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those. The wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. Now, in speaking of this highway, this literal road, this literal path that was erected from Babylon, or would be erected from Babylon to Zion, to Jerusalem, it speaks of a highway being made through the wilderness. There are mentions in these verses to the wilderness. For example, verse 1 of this chapter, the wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and the blossom as the rose. Verse 7, the parched ground shall become a pool. So here, Israel, before the erection of this highway, Israel is described as a desert. It is described as a solitary place, as a place where there is no water, a place that is parched, a place where it is very, very difficult for flowers to grow. The imagery here is of barrenness, a lack of fruitfulness, a lack of productivity. Now, this was essentially the state of the land physically. As the people of God were taken to Babylon, and as they were there in captive for 70 years. This is what Israel was like. Nebuchadnezzar came the king of Babylon. He ransacked the place of God as well as the people of God. He destroyed the house of God. He broke down the walls of Jerusalem. And so the result was this, is that Israel really just became a desert. It became a place where it was abandoned. Yes, there was a remnant of people left there, a very small amount of people. But largely speaking, survival there was very, very difficult. And in stating here to encourage them that a highway, a road, a path would be erected, Isaiah here is saying that this highway, it would literally bulldoze through that which is a desert place, through the wilderness, and it would lead straight to Zion again. The word highway here, and also the word way, verse 8, and highway and a way, they are slightly different. The word way, it simply refers to a normal path. For example, a footpath today. But the word highway in the Hebrew, it has the idea of that which stands out, of that which was raised up, a road that is raised high above its surrounding landscape. In other words, as you were in the field and you looked and you saw this road, well, you just couldn't miss it. And you think of the motorways today. You're in Belfast and all of a sudden you see, for example, the M3. It's a road and you just really can't miss it. It's extremely prominent. And that is really the thought here. The thought of something prominent, unmissable, unmistakable. This road, it was something that you just couldn't miss. All obstructions were cleared from these roads. Valleys were filled. Roads were smoothed of the highest road. And Isaiah here, he's speaking, remember, in the context of a literal road. So he was saying here to the people of God, as they made their journey back from Babylon, and others who came on this highway as well, he was saying this is something you just can't miss. This is something that you couldn't miss in the high and lofty landscape of Israel. And he shows this in verse 8 by saying, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. The thought here of the wayfaring man, of the individual who was a wayfaring soul or a fool, it has the idea of being an ignorant person. Ignorant in the sense of not being intelligent, not being blessed academically. It's not a crude way of describing them. It's just a plain statement of fact. He's saying there that even the people who are not educated, you just couldn't miss this road. It's something that is extremely prominent, something that sticks out of the landscape. And yes, whilst it had a literal and immediate fulfillment, Isaiah also speaks of something to come, a spiritual highway, as it were. And he takes this thought of a literal road, a literal highway that just couldn't be missed. And he then looks forward not only to that time when the Jews would return from Babylon, but he looks forward hundreds of years forward, and he's looking to the first coming of Christ and his death. And he's essentially saying this, when Christ comes and Christ dies, what will he do? He will open up a highway. And he will do it in an unmistakable way. A way that even a foolish individual, a simple individual, would not miss. And so he's saying here that entrance into the kingdom of God, into heaven, the way, it would be something unmistakable and also something extremely exclusive. You see, whilst the way of salvation is singular, it is also very simple. It is a straightforward road to travel. I say to you tonight that heaven's highway is something you just can't miss. Something that's unmistakable. You think of how unmissable this highway must have been for the Jew. That even the simple people, and even verses 5 and 6, it mentions the blind individual. It mentions the deaf individual. So even the blind man, in a, whatever way, he just couldn't miss this road. It was just something that he just, perhaps by others helping him and pointing him to the way, it was just something that he couldn't miss. And so I say to you tonight that the way to heaven, it is unmissable and unmistakable. There are no U-turns on this road. It is something that is simple. and something that is straightforward. Did Jesus Christ not say himself in John 14 verse 6, I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. It is one exclusive, simple way. It is Jesus Christ resting in him and Jesus Christ alone. It is not Christ plus effort. It is not Christ plus energy. Not Christ plus intellect. Not even Christ plus spiritual experience. It is Christ and Christ alone. And the Lord showing you this tonight, that it is absolutely unmistakable. This highway that you need to travel to heaven, it's something that in the coming of Jesus Christ and his death and his resurrection, which validates his death essentially, the miracle of the resurrection, it's something that you just cannot miss. It is something that is just plain and prominent before your eyes and there for you to behold. In Isaiah 40, we read of John the Baptist, or the prophecy of the coming of John the Baptist. And in verses 3 and 4, we read, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. The crooked shall be made straight, and rough places plain. Why was John the Baptist sent? That rough character, and his rough way of preaching, and being very, very cutting, and just very, very direct, and straight to the point, as he preached on repentance. Why? What was John the Baptist doing? Well, we can put it this way. He was, as it were, making the way, making it very, very straight for the coming of Jesus Christ. That's how Isaiah prophesied the coming of John the Baptist. He was like making a highway. That's what he says here in this verse. He was a highway in the desert for our God. And that's what he did. Through preaching repentance, turning from idolatry and sin towards the Lord. That's what he did. He paved the way for the first coming of Jesus Christ. He was essentially a highway for the coming of Christ. Again in Acts 4, Peter there before the Sanhedrin, he said in verse 12, very, very simply, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. And here was a group of religious individuals, a group of religious leaders. And what does Peter do? He goes, as we would say, for the jugular. He goes straight to the point, straight to the heart of the matter. And he says this, there's no other name under heaven except Jesus Christ whereby we must be saved. It's not we might be saved. It is we must be saved. Whilst other names may soothe, it's only the name and work of Christ that saves. It is Christ and Christ alone. Even the wayfaring man, even the foolish, even the blind and the dumb, they could not miss this highway. I wonder tonight, are you complicating things when it is so, so simple? So simple. That it's simply resting in Jesus Christ, faith in him and him alone, faith in his finished work on the cross for you. But I wonder tonight, are you complicating it? Are you trying to add your own attainments, your own accomplishments, your own efforts to that which Christ has done for you? A businessman well known for his ruthlessness, he once came to writer Mark Twain, and he said this. He said, before I die, I'm going to go to pilgrimage to the Holy Land. And when I'm at the Holy Land, I'm going to climb Mount Sinai, and I'm going to read the Ten Commandments aloud at the top of Mount Sinai. Mark Twain replied this, I have a better idea. Why don't you stay in Boston and keep them and live them? And sadly, individuals, they do that. They try and complicate things when the Lord has made it so simple. That even the wayfaring man, though he be a fool, he could not err therein. He could not mistake this way. And so I want you to see here, thinking about heaven's highway, its prominence. I want you to see secondly here, its people. Its people. Verses 8 and 9, we read, it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those. The wayfaring men, no fool, shall not err therein. No lion shall be there. Nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. it shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. In its immediate context, this literal road, it was from Babylon, and as I've said, it led to Zion. And so therefore, the primary reason for this road being erected was for Jews. It was for the returning Jew from Babylon to his native Israel. But that did not exclude Gentiles who were willing to travel to Israel after the rule and reign of Babylon and begin life as a Jew. But they had to, as it were, renounce all of their paganism and renounce all of their idolatry and renounce their former life before they could come on this road and travel this road straight to Zion and to Jerusalem. It was not for someone who worshipped his own way. That's why in verse 8 it's called the way of holiness. And it also states the unclean shall not pass over it. And it seems that literally, that the unclean, those who had broken the ceremonial law of God and who were rendered unclean before the Jewish law that was given in the book of Leviticus primarily, other books as well. But even those who were rendered unclean before the law, they could not even travel this highway. No, it was exclusively then for those who were wanting to go to Zion, who were wanting to return to Jerusalem to worship the Lord and live in a way that would be pleasing to Him. Live, in other words, a life of worship, a life of holiness, a life of obedience to the law and the Word of God. So it was a very, very exclusive way for an exclusive people. Now, it was a large road. It was a long road. But there were certain requirements I'm showing you that were necessary for you to fulfill in order to be permitted to enter this road and literally go into the bounds or boundaries of Israel. But this people, they were not a perfect people. They were not. Verse 8 speaks of the redeemed walking, or verse 9 speaks of the redeemed walking there. And we read in verse 10, interestingly, that the ransomed of the Lord shall return. Now that word return, it will be an instant reminder to the people of God. As Isaiah was ministering here, it will be an instant reminder that this people were not perfect. The fact that they needed to return from Babylon, from exile, from punishment to their native land was in essence a testimony to the fact that they were not perfect. Because they had lived in sin. Their forefathers had rebelled against God. They had lived in idolatry. They had given their hearts over to paganism, the worship of Baal and Ashtaroth and so on. And so the fact that God punished them and left them in Babylon for 70 years away from their own land and that they needed to return, that in essence was a reminder to this people, you're by no means perfect. You had to renounce Babylon. You had to leave Babylon and return to your native place, your native land. But nonetheless, here they were, and they had returned. And it also speaks of them being redeemed. What does it mean to be redeemed? It means to be delivered. It means to, literally, it means to be delivered from sin upon the payment of a sacrifice, an atoning sacrifice. So here were a people who had given themselves to the worship of God, even Gentiles, yes, pagans, yes, but they had to renounce their idolatry. And they're described as a returning people and also redeemed people, a people who had been delivered, a people who had been rescued, as it were, from the tyranny primarily of Babylon and other paganism as well. But this people, and this people alone, a worshipping people, a glad people, we read in verse 10 that they would obtain joy and gladness. They would return with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. This people, a praising people, a rescued people, a redeemed people. This people and this people alone were those on heaven's highway. The road to Christ is only traveled by the redeemed and delivered by Christ, the ransomed of the Lord. The question is asked tonight, who are on the heavenly highway? Who is on the highway to heaven this evening? And the answer is very, very plain and simple. In the spiritual sense, those who have been ransomed. What is a ransom? It is a price that is paid to secure the release of someone. And you think about that. You think about what that means here, even in the context for the people of God. Here, there was obviously the payment of the price. And it's looking forward to Jesus Christ, the payment of his price. But ultimately, when you think of it today, in that spiritual sense, who are on the highway to heaven? Those who are looking solely to the ransom price that was paid on Calvary by Jesus Christ. Those and those alone are on heaven's highway. Those who have been redeemed. Not with corruptible things such as silver or gold, as 1 Peter puts it, but with the precious blood of Christ. Verses 5 and 6, as I've already said, it mentioned those who were blind and those who couldn't hear, the dumb. And when you think about that in the spiritual sense, those who have been rescued from spiritual blindness and have had their hearts opened, those and those alone are redeemed, are regenerated. And so the question then remains tonight, are you spiritually blind still? Or have you, as it were, had your blindness cured? Are you still stopping your ears to the noise of the sweet song of redemption? Or have you had your ears unstopped? Have you had a new heart? That's really the question. Have you had a new heart? Are you on the highway to heaven? Are you redeemed by Jesus Christ? And are you simply looking to him, his payment for sin upon the cross? Have you returned? Return to the God of Israel. Hebrews 12:14 reminds us that we are to follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Without holiness, no man shall see God. And so if you perhaps have made a profession of faith, but there's been no change of life, and the description here of those on the highway to heaven, the singing of joy, those who have been delivered from sin, the change in their conduct, it's called a way of holiness, and the unclean are not allowed on this way. And so the question is, have you had that change in your heart, in your life? Because if there is no holiness, no change in your life, then you will not. The Bible says you will not see the Lord. Ephesians 5 verse 1, Paul exhorts the believers there to be followers of God. And the word followers there, it has the idea of being an imitator. When you imitate something, what do? You copy it. You try and copy that person's conduct or behavior, whatever it might be. And Paul, he says to the church at Ephesus, be an imitator of God. Be a follower of God. Be, as it were, a copier, a mimicker of God. Now, why does he say this to them? Well, in verse 5 of Ephesians 5, he explains why. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, no unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. No idolater, no whoremonger, no unclean person has the inheritance of the kingdom of God. What is Paul saying here? He's saying this, there needs to be the change. The only evidence of you being an imitator of God is that you abstain from all of these things that Paul is mentioning. And so heaven's highway, it is a select way for a saved and a select people. Only those ransomed and redeemed and growing in holiness are on this highway. William Dyer once said, there is no going to the fair haven of glory without sailing first through the narrow strait of repentance. Of course, repentance is turning from sin. So have you turned from sin? Have you turned from sin? It's only those who are on the highway of heaven, those who have had the change in conduct, no unclean person is there. Those who have that wonderful joy in their heart of everlasting praise for their God. And so its prominence, its people. I want you to see lastly here, thinking about heaven's highway, its protection. Verse 9, we read, no lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. Now the location of this literal highway from Babylon to Judea, as I've said, it was through a desert. It was through a place where there was parched ground. a place then, obviously, where there would have been many ravenous beasts. The countries that surrounded Palestine in Bible times, they were areas and countries that had plenty of harmful animals. And verse 9 mentions one in particular. No lion shall be there. And whilst in the natural realm, as Isaiah here is speaking of this literal road that led straight to Zion, in the natural realm there would have been the beasts on the periphery of these roads. And as you were traveling this road, you would have been very, very conscious of those beasts, of the lion, of the wolf, of the whatever animal it might be. He's saying this in the spiritual sense. In the spiritual sense, there would be nothing that would harm those on the highway to heaven. And that is why we read of them in verse 10, traveling this road with joy and hope. And there's this sense of expectancy and excitement, this sense of praise, this heart of praise for the Lord who had erected this road and then had placed them on this road. There was nothing to bring dread or fear to them. There then is the thought of security on this road as they traveled onward home to Zion. And whilst heaven's highway is special, it's also safe and secure. It is a tried and trusted and a protected path. And when you enter into life, and you begin journey on the highway to heaven, you will find this, that no spiritual ravenous beasts shall harm you. I think it's very interesting that Isaiah here hones in on the lion. I think it's very interesting. He doesn't mention another beast here, solely the lion. Of course, where does that take us to? 1 Peter chapter 5. There the thought of the roaring lion going about, seeking whom he may devour. And of course, he's speaking there of the devil himself. And so the thought here is this, is if you're on heaven's highway tonight, the devil cannot harm you. Oh yes, he can try, and he can do his best to try and take you off the highway that leads to heaven. But Christ, when he sets you on that highway, he promises your protection. He promises your security. He promises, I will keep thee in the way that thou should go. Maybe you're fearing that. Maybe you're fearing, if I enter onto this highway, what'll happen? What about the ravenous beasts? What about the roaring lion? Going about seeking whom he may devour. Maybe you're fearing that. Well, the Lord's showing you this. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Speaking again of Satan himself. Oh, tonight, the prince of the power of the air, he has sway over the unregenerate heart, as Ephesians 2 tells us, but he does not have ultimately the sway of the regenerate heart, because Christ has redeemed that heart, and he will keep and preserve that heart. John 18, verse 9, as Christ there was about to be betrayed by Judas in the garden, we read there that the saying might be fulfilled, which he speak of them which thou gavest me, have I lost none. Now remember the context here. Here were the disciples and they had just fled him. He just fled Christ. Judas had come with the enemy. He had kissed Jesus Christ. And really all of the disciples at this stage, bar Peter, they fled and they left Jesus Christ. And yet what does he say? All of those whom you've given me, Lord, have I lost none? Have I lost none? Oh, the disciples, they fled. But you read again of their restoration just 3 days later on what is now known as Easter Sunday. Whilst you may leave the path, you will never be totally lost on that path. Christ saves and straightens your steps on the heavenly highway. Yes, at times you might be curious. Yes, perhaps like Pilgrim, in Pilgrim's Progress, you might have the tendency to wander into Bypath Meadow. But the Lord, he'll keep you on the path. And if you do meander, perhaps even off it just for a moment or for a little while, he bring you right back on and set your feet straight again on heaven's highway. He keeps you from the wiles of the devil. He keeps you from the enemy. He even draws you back and directs your steps back when you attempt to leave off the path. Jesse Ryle of Liverpool, he said this, "No soldiers of Christ are ever lost, missing or left on the battlefield. No soldiers of Christ are lost, left, or go missing on the battlefield." You'll never go missing. You'll never go missing. So we saw this morning, as you attempt to take your bow and arrow, and as you attempt to war a good warfare for Jesus Christ, and shoot that arrow, you'll never be lost in the battle. Oh, you might be wounded, but you'll never be lost. Heaven's highway, or the highway to heaven. May the Lord bless his word to your heart and life this evening.